Good morning, everyone. We welcome you all to our Palm Sunday Cafe Church service this morning, whether in the building or on Zoom or on YouTube. And we thank Audrey and the elders for leading our worship today. I will now light the candle for a time of quiet as we prepare for worship.
Good morning. And welcome everyone to our service today for Palm Sunday, the day of rejoicing and praise. And during our service today, we're going to think further about the story of Palm Sunday through discussion, prayer and two craft activities. On your table there's some colouring sheets relating to Palm Sunday and a word search. Feel free to do that at any time in the service, and if you want to go and get a coffee, bring it back in, also do that. There's a few crayons and felt tips, in the pots on your table. If you want more, they're on the table by the piano there. There's also scissors and one glue stick, which you will need later. I know it's not many colours, so if you want, just go and help yourself to other colours. As it's a different service, there'll be no offertory taken during the service. Instead, we ask you to place your gift in the basket by the door at any time, and I now thank God for those gifts and for our gifts of time as well as money, and ask God to use them in his service. Amen. We come together for the call to worship, and there is a refrain in bold type: give thanks to God for everlasting love. But it does change, so I will say the other, and if you join in on the bold type. Let us join together in worship. With cloaks and leaves laid in the road, let the people shout,
give thanks to God for everlasting love.
With arms stretching high to wave and to welcome, let the people shout,
open the gates of justice for us this day.
With voices raised up, loud and uncontrolled, let the people shout,
the stone that was rejected will be our salvation.
Everlasting God, fling wide the gates. Come to us now in our time, for we need your salvation, your justice, your everlasting love. Come to us now, we welcome you. We now join together in our worship songs, which are introduced by Mike.
Excuse me, Mike. Can I take you up?
Good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you all. Before I introduce a song, can I just say that last night I had a lovely dream. I dreamt that I was on Cuxford Green Easter morning at 7:30, and I dreamt it was lovely, that there were lots and lots of you there with me, and we all sang, Jesus is alive, he's risen again, and we made a lovely noise. It was a lovely dream. Our two songs, the first one is 242 Hosanna. Hosanna is used to express adoration, praise or joy. We have the opportunity to join with all those who called out when Jesus entered Jerusalem on the donkey, running ahead or following behind, spreading out rushes. They shouted, blessed is he who comes in God's name. Hosanna in highest heaven. 242.
Hosanna.
Song is 809, Blessed is the Name of the Lord. We have sung this one before, but perhaps not for some time, Bridget, is that right? The message comes from Proverbs 18. It says, God's name is a place of protection. Good people can run there and be safe in the strong tower. For me, the strong tower is the knowledge of God's everlasting love for us, which is always there if we would only ask and believe. His love is not locked in a tower, but is abroad for all. 809.
Bridget doesn't know it, and I knew it well, so I don't know why. So, today's Palm Sunday. What's it all about? What's the evidence? What's the hype? What does it all mean, both when it happened and for us today? We're going to start by really looking at what the Bible tells us about Palm Sunday story. And then we're going to think about that donkey And finally, how we can use the story of Palm Sunday to welcome people to our church and share the good news in our local neighbourhood. First, let us pray, and most of the prayers today, apart from the prayers of intercession, have come from recent, well, not so recent, prayer handbooks, URC prayer handbooks. This one was written by Nathan Eddy, who some of you may know. He used it at Lowestoft. Loving Jesus, blessed one, we have no saviour but you, but we seek other leaders. Sorry, there is a refrain. Blessed one, save us. Loving Jesus, defenceless on a donkey, we have no defence but in you, yet we cling to our own. Blessed one, save us. Loving Jesus, triumphant one, we have no triumph but in you together, yet we seek our own prestige. Blessed one, save us. Loving Jesus, enter into our midst. Forgive and pardon us. Turn us to each other and reign in love.
Amen. So, we all know the story of Palm Sunday. Very simple. I do messy church. I do children's things. I like things. We used this at Messy Church recently. We have people, lots of people, shouting. We have some buildings in the background. They stay up. We have more people shouting. Put some trees up. We have more people coming in. Sorry, I will move. We have people coming in, and whether it'll stay, we have Jesus riding on a donkey. That is the story of Palm Sunday as we know it. People shouting, people praising Jesus on a donkey. And Alex is just going to now read to us one of these versions of this story from Mark chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. And he's reading from the Message. You'll realise why, because we're going to look at the other versions later. So, thank you.
From Mark 11, verses 1 to 11, from the Message. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly.' They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing, untying that colt?' They answered as Jesus had told them, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in highest heaven.' Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Praise be to God.
Thank you. So that's Mark's version of the story. Do we really think about what the Bible tells us in that story? Do we just listen to it thinking, okay, we know that story, we don't really need to listen? What story would we get if we put together the story from different Gospels? Now, you're going to have some sheets. Right, there's one per table. So, Bridget's going to bring round some sheets.
And on them is Could I have a slide, please? That's it, that's what I want. Right, so on one of your sheets, and I know you can't read this on here, it's to show what it looks like, you have got three versions of the story. I haven't used St. John's Gospel because although it has the story, it's a slightly different order and it would be very, very confusing. So what you have is from Matthew, Mark and Luke, the Palm Sunday story.
Okay. There's a lot, isn't there? If you look at the different Gospels, you kind of get, you get some questions. Why does one say one colt and a donkey? Why does one say, they say this? It's interesting, I did some background, that would have been helpful, wouldn't it, if I turned that around. Never mind. Can I have the next slide, please? I did a bit of background reading on the Palm Sunday story. I'll talk about donkey later. But interestingly, one commentator called Nynam said that when studying this story, we should do as the original readers have done automatically, i.e. to have in mind certain Old Testament and later Jewish expectations, which does refer back to, and the other is not to have in the back of your mind one's impressions derived from the accounts of the incidents in the other Gospels. In other words, what we've just done. But different witnesses always see things slightly differently. And so I think the activity we've done was actually worth doing. There's constant references back to the Old Testament in all of the Gospel accounts of Palm Sunday. According to Barclay, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord" was the regular greeting with which pilgrims were addressed when they reached the temple on the occasion of the great feast. "He who comes" was another name for the Messiah, and also would have linked in people's minds with Maccabeus, who repurified and dedicated the temple. Hosanna was not a cry of praise, instead a cry to God to break in and save his people now that the Messiah was here. John Proctor, in his commentary on the version in Matthew, says that the crowd received Jesus like a king and spread cloaks in front of him, and that was apparently what the crowd did when Jehu was pronounced king, and that's in 2 Kings 9 verse 13, when it says, "They quickly took their cloaks and spread them under him on the bare steps. Then they blew the trumpet and shouted, 'Jehu is king.' They cut down and waved palm branches as they did when Maccabeus entered Jerusalem." In 1 Maccabees, which I had difficulty finding, it's in the Apocrypha, on the 23rd day of the second month in the 171st year, the Jews entered it with praise and palm branches, with harps and cymbals and stringed instruments, with hymns and songs, because a great enemy had been crushed and removed from Israel. So there's lots of historical references that the people there would have known because they knew what happened in the Old Testament. They were brought up knowing it. And some of the things you've picked out, they would have known that in behind. So when they saw somebody coming on a donkey, they would have thought, that's a king. They would have done what they did. They threw palm branches. It's a hard part done. We now know the story. It's a bit more than that. And it's a glorious, exciting story with historical precedence. And Teresa's now going to lead us in prayer. It's got a refrain, "Hosanna to God whose love lasts forever." And I think we'll follow it with the Lord's Prayer, which I managed to miss out.
Okay, so as Audrey said, that there's a refrain that's up on the screen, so if you can join in that when I hopefully pause at the right places. "Blessed is the one who brings justice to the people and delivers the poor from hunger and debt. Hosanna to our God, whose love lasts forever. Blessed is the one who renews the worn-out earth and builds the ruined stones into houses of beauty. Hosanna to our God, whose love lasts forever. Blessed is the one who restores goodness to the land and brings right dealing and fair trading to our cities. Hosanna to our God, whose love lasts forever. Blessed is the one who does not snatch at fame, but comes to work alongside ordinary people. Hosanna to our God, whose love lasts forever. Blessed is the one who turns his back on violence and comes to liberate us with justice and peace. Hosanna to our God, whose love lasts forever. Blessed is the one whom all peoples praise, whose song of celebration rings out in the streets. Hosanna to our God, whose love lasts forever. Hosanna is the living God. And we'll join together with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Thank you. We now join together as we sing that glorious song of praise, You Are the King of Glory. It might do it twice. People have laughed as Charles III had come along riding on a donkey. A horse you might have expected, because we often see royalty riding horses, but not a donkey. What would we have thought if we'd seen King Charles coming on a donkey? I don't think we'd have hailed him as king. I think we'd have wondered what earth he was up to. But our investigations into different Bible readings, we've discovered that there was a colt, a baby donkey, and one which never been written before. And that was an important task, and I think it's why in one gospel it says, or two, it says that there's a donkey and its mother, it's a colt, because that reinforces the fact it had never been written, it was a baby one, and apparently that's really important as those in, at the time, because references back to Old Testament times. And also in the past, when prophets were tired because they weren't listened to, they often went to some symbolic act to attract attention. Zechariah did this, and it says in Zechariah, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of the donkey." So you can see where the reference in the gospel came from. And apparently the red heifer that was used in cleansing ceremonies could never have had a yoke on it. It could never have been driven. And the, in Numbers it says, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "There is a requirement of the law that the Lord has commanded. Tell the Israelites to bring you a red heifer without defect or blemish that has never been under a yoke." And the people of Jerusalem would have been really aware of this. The URC daily devotion on the 2nd of March kind of led my thinking to this part of the worship, and it was written by the Reverend Walt Johnson. He asked some questions and made some points in relation to the donkey. And they're quite fun. He wrote, "We tend to read Jesus' knowledge of the donkey as divine foresight. It could have been a prior, undocumented arrangement Jesus made with the owner. In Mark, it's bystanders who challenge the disciples about taking the donkey, and the mention of Jesus' words is sufficient to allay their concerns. The donkey is tied up in the street, so he or she is probably familiar with human noise and bustle." And he says, "I'm deliberately writing he or she as a reminder that we're discussing a living, feeling animal, part of God's creation, who is more than the fulfillment of a prophecy about Jesus. Maybe the donkey was used to carrying things on his back or her back, but today it was a new experience. Someone got on his or her back and rode it. Did the donkey try and shake Jesus off, or did he readily go where Jesus led? The journey from the Mount of Olives to Jerusalem is about 3 kilometres on hilly terrain, probably quite a strain for a young donkey carrying a human for the first time. The donkey was used to walking on stony ground. Today there were cloaks and leafy branches. Did the donkey want to pause for a snack? Did he, she, pee or poop on those cloaks? No doubt to much annoyance from the cloak's owners. Was he, she frightened by the shouting, wanting to run away? And once Jesus had reached the temple, who took the donkey back home as promised? We don't hear that, do we? And I thought about those shouting Hosanna. We tend to assume they were the very same people who 5 days later were shouting Crucify. Every crowd comprises individuals, each made in the image of God, in all diversity, each with their own thoughts and feelings. And that reflection led me to think about other questions we could ask about the donkey and its place in the story. It wasn't just any old animal. It was very special. I also Googled Palm Sunday donkey and found a reference to Archbishop Dom Helder Camara, who addressed a packed Melbourne concert on the 15th of May 1985. After a rapturous welcome, he stilled the crowd saying, "I'm just Christ's little donkey." That's so important. We're Christ's little donkey. We sing the next hymn, which is "Ride On, Ride On in Majesty." So we thought about the donkey and his part in the story, and Jesus and his disciples were the main focus. The donkey made them noticed. But would the event have been recorded if the crowds weren't there? The crowds and the noise made it memorable. The crowds are an essential part of the Easter story. Have you ever been caught up in a crowd? Found yourself shouting, craning to look, just because everyone else was, but not really knowing much about the focus for that cheering? I like football, although I must confess I've never actually been to a proper match. School matches, but not proper ones. But when Norwich City got promoted to the Premiership one time, I just felt I had to go and join in the celebration. And I stood in Gentleman's Walk, and it was great fun. Everyone was crowding forward to see the team on the bus. But why? Those team members were just people. People who had achieved something special, and I presume most people were there to have a look at them and say thank you, because their winning had given joy and hope and excitement into people's lives. It didn't matter that I'd never been to a match. I was part of that crowd. I felt the joy and the excitement. Strangers chatted to each other. People bumped into old acquaintances and spoke with them. People laughed. Some people cried. Everyone felt part of one big family. For some, it would have felt more and meant more than it did for others. Those close to the team or family members would have had that extra layer of pride and joy and sense of belonging as they knew what the players had gone through to get to that point. Those supporters who had followed the team to different areas of the country and intimately felt every high and low in their journey to this place would have felt an even greater sense of belonging and achievement. Yet every person in that crowd belonged and was welcomed and wanted to be part of something bigger. I suspect that Palm Sunday was much the same. Many of the people got caught in the hype of others, but for some there was greater meaning. How precious that moment was. Jesus hadn't had an easy ministry, but here he was being recognised for the person he was. And dared they hope, the person who could become king, who could take away the strict rule of the Romans and the rules and regulations of the Pharisees, the person who was going to make everything wonderful. The crowd welcomed Jesus, but by their actions, they welcomed each other to join in their praise and to focus the stranger's attention on Jesus, their Saviour. Today we remember the events and emotions of Palm Sunday. The feelings of everyone being welcome and part of something special. Can we use those feelings to generate a feeling of welcome? To encourage others to join us next week as we remember the sadness of Good Friday, and witness to others God's love as we walk together on the walk of witness. When we leave St John's at 9:30, we get here for worship at 11, we come via St Paul's, we go right round the ring road where there's lots of people to see us carrying that cross and that crown of thorns. We'll stop for prayer and praise at different places on the way. We can encourage others to join us to celebrate the joy of the resurrection on Easter Day, either at Tuxwood Green at 7:30 or here for breakfast at 8:15 or worship at 9:45. Can the way we talk and behave influence others to want to know more about our faith? Can our joy and witness influence others to want to know more? So the people shouting Hosanna when Jesus rode in on the donkey were also saying welcome. When you wave, you acknowledge somebody. You want to be seen. You don't do that and then they don't see you. So our next activity is to make a palm branch. And hopefully... So here's my palm branch. And the idea is that we will use these. We're going to wave them, they wave in the wind. And what I was thinking was we could use them to decorate outside afterwards. Use them as a welcome, a witness to our faith. We can put them outside to blow in the wind. We can fix them to the cross. They can help decorate the outside of the building so people can see we're here. To let people know that Jesus Christ died and is
stand, sit, whatever you want to do as we sing, make way for Christ the King in splendour arise.
Remember all that Christ did for us at Easter by dying on the cross to save us. We're going to bring these round now as a gift for you to take home, and during the prayer that Hilary is going to say for, in prayers of intercession, you can feel it, hold it, use it as a focus to help you feel God's love reaching out to you and through you. And the prayers are based on those by the Reverend Trevor Jameson in the URC Palm Sunday service for today. And there is a refrain, "O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever."
Audrey has already given you the response, which is, "O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever." And it comes in response to me saying, "May they experience your steadfast love." So let us pray. O God, we come to you praying for a world in need of your steadfast love. As a massive heatwave closes schools in Sudan and this planet groans with pain, we pray for those most affected by the outcomes of climate change, for those working to mitigate the impacts of extreme weather, for those working to stop the world's temperature rising. May they experience your steadfast love. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His steadfast love endures forever. O God, we come to you, praying for nations and political systems in need of your steadfast love. As society breaks down in Haiti, as wars continue in Russia and Ukraine, in Gaza and Israel, and as war leaders appear to flourish in power, we pray for stability in Haiti, for peace and justice in Israel and Gaza, in Ukraine and Russia, for the work of peacemakers and peacekeepers. May they experience your steadfast love. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. O God, we come to you praying for your church in this place, this land, this world, for we are in need of your steadfast love. As we seek to follow Jesus on his journey into the city, as he brings news of your love and justice, as he confronts misguided or corrupt authorities, we pray for those in leadership in your church today, for those who teach the Christian faith, for those whose faith leads them to serve others who are in need. May they experience your steadfast love. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. O God, we come to you praying for others and ourselves in time of difficulty and challenge. As we ponder experience of sickness, struggle and sadness, we pray for all who struggle with ill health and those who care for them. For all who find life a struggle and for those who support them. For those weighed down with sadness and those who comfort them. At this time we pray especially for people known to us or have requested prayer. Daphne, Doreen and Vince, Josh, Philip, Lillian, Neville, Nick, a friend of Gareth, Purabi and John and family, Linda, Joe and Iris, Pam, our friends in the other Norwich churches, and we pray for the work to develop the mission partnership. May they and we experience your steadfast love. I give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And we pray these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, the one who demonstrated your steadfast love by travelling all the way to the cross. Amen.
Thank you. We come to the last hymn, you'll be relieved to know. I'm sorry it's so late. Shall we sing at the end, At the Name of Jesus? It's not a traditional Easter hymn, but actually it summed up the whole Easter story, and I think you'll enjoy it. I hope you do. I think I've got it right. So please stand and sing. You can wave your banner if you like.